There are a lot of things that matter to me. Family, community, culture, and peace of mind. Hi, it's Wilmer Valderrama, and when balancing life, I have to say nothing brings more comfort than having support. And when it comes to ensuring those things that matter to you the most, State Farm offers the support with an agent available in person or on the phone to discuss your coverage options. Support when you need it, however you choose. That's State Farm's way. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
We are coming back to Atlanta right now. Mark your calendars, because the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
My whole life, I've been told this one story about my family, about how my great-great-grandmother was killed by the mafia back in Sicily. I was never sure if it was true, so I decided to find out. And even though my Uncle Jimmy told me I'd only be making the vendetta worse, I'm going to Sicily anyway. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay, guys, we are here in our own world. Actually, today, I want to make an announcement. Unfortunately, Jem has had to take the side pod. She had to go to another planet. It's called Glork. It's on the other side of the universe.
Oh, no. I love Glork.
Well, she actually is on a mission to find and mine a rock that will keep Beyonce alive forever.
Wow. She's doing the hard work.
She's doing the work that we all need. Mm-hmm. So actually, Jem, are you there? Let's check in with you real quick. Come check, baby.
I'm here, but not for long. Listen, Twiggy, Avery, I am so sorry I'm not there to be with you guys, and you flew all the way out here to see us. But listen, I had to. Emmett's magical. There are giant bees everywhere. I can't believe I got down here without even so much as a camera to take pictures of it. But listen, I gotta go. This might be the world's only chance. Listen, have the best time. Don't forget, a diva is a female version of a hustler. And praise Beyonce till the end of time. Goodbye, guys. Bye.
You are doing the work that we all need, baby. Thank you. Beyonce shall live forever. Thanks to you. And nobody forget it out there.
American Thank you, Jem.
Hero.
Yep.
All right, guys. Well, today is a very special episode. You are in Emily's world. So I've known these two people who are here that are about to introduce themselves for a minute now. You all have been very special to me in my life. And that's why I'm glad that you're here sitting with me today. So,
thank you, Em.
We are talking about high school. We are talking about your formative years. We are talking about the experiences you have when you're growing up, how they shape you as a human being, and just exploring and vibing out. So, without further ado, I would like to introduce yourselves. You Ooh. Go first, Twig.
Hi, hello. I'm Federico. Emily knows me as Twiggy.
We'll talk about that later.
We'll talk about that later.
You're Federico.
My name is Federico Manuel Stesinger. I'm here from Miami. I've known Emily from high school. We were in the school band together. We were school rivals.
Rivals?
Why not?
Let's go there. What
sure.
do you mean rivals?
We'll figure it out as we go. and we've been both little music meisters, jam buddies.
He's being a little bit modest
time.
Right now.
I guess so.
I was in awe of you. I always was like, look at this cat. Okay. I looked up to you. Like, he's in drama. He draws. He's playing music. Like, I always looked up to you as this kid who was all around, you know, like showing up. And I wanted to be kind of like that. Also, when you're in high school and you're growing up, I was talking about this with Avery, which we're about to introduce right now because she's going to punch me in the face.
Hey, what's up?
I'm here, I swear I'm here. But we're going to go to Aves now. But my point is that when you're in high school, because we all went to high school together.
Yeah.
When you're in high school, you don't realize, like, now we're about to be 28, right? Oh, we're all, I know.
Thank you for that.
But you know what? So you look back, like, how do you think about a 15-year-old, 16-year-old?
Oh, sure. I have children. That conversation they know myself nothing. All the time. About, like, 15-year-old me, and I see kids now at that age, and it's like, I was once there.
Yeah.
Like, and it completely changed. Like, I realize how, in a way, there was confidence you have at that age.
Yep.
Where you wish you had confidence in other places, and where you had confidence, you wish you did not.
Yeah,
wish,
like, you
kind of swallowed your pride a little bit. Yeah.
Check yourself.
You can't help as that age to not know how to swallow your pride.
What did I just say? I said, you feel like you're an adult, mm-hmm. but you're not.
No.
I feel like the more removed I am from that period, the more I take from it.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if that makes sense.
You, like, as much as you think that it's a moment for you to grow and figure things out, I have yet to completely figure out what I'm doing. You know? I've realized that even as a kid, like, there was a moment where it just kind of, like, clicked for me that even adults are still figuring it
out. Yes, always.
I'm constantly changing. Mm-hmm. I don't know who I will be at 30.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I don't know who I'll be at 65.
But even, like, a year from now, you could have a life thing that just changes.
70,
your...
I'm going to be, like, leather skin with, like, a hemp shirt. Yes. And, like, a little Vespa.
I see it already. Oh, yeah.
I was like, hello.
Hi there.
My girlfriend's half my age. No, I don't want to do that. That's not the aesthetic I'm going for.
You're considering.
If it's thrown at me,
I'll catch it.
I to say no?
Yeah, right?
I don't mind being used. Anyway, what are you guys talking about?
Okay, wait. So now it's time for Avery. My second flight attendant today. Thank you for joining us on this flight, by the way.
Did you get a degree in spaceship stuff?
Yes, cool. I went to DeVry for spaceship stuff.
Oh my God. So Avery, mother effing Watson.
Yo.
Who are you? What do you do? How do we know each other?
Well, I am Avery, mother effing Watson. Mm-hmm. Met you in ninth grade, so high school. Start of that, and we hit it off, you know, we were friends from the start and, like, always got along, could laugh and have fun. I looked up to both you guys. I loved the whole art stuff and the music. I love singing, but I'm like a more car and shower singer.
I looked up to you
more,
dude.
Than yeah,
yeah,
good show.
Avery's but, sick.
But we merged more in the sports world because you're a little athlete. So we did, like, Powder Puff football. That was the best. I love that. This girl can play football.
Listen, whoever was present for that Miami Country Day Powder Puff football game, we Avery and I
sophomore
shut
year,
that
right?
shit down.
Down. No one can get around us. Breaking ankles out here.
Yeah, literally. Like, we were sophomores. Oh,
yeah.
Okay, here we go. We're going into the high school talk. Welcome. Welcome to high school.
Yes.
Go back into your high school years, guys, out there, wherever you are. We're going to get into this, but... You know, I want to hear Twiggy's perspective because Avery and I are both
dumb
gay.
Jokes.
We're gay.
Yes. Lesbians.
What? No.
Did you know that?
So, yeah, you guys are
so
super
So Avery
gay.
And I both got infected by the gay virus.
We did.
I'm so sorry.
It happened. Yeah. I'm so sorry. Greatest. We didn't get the vaccine for the gay.
Yeah.
We tried to get the vaccine for the gay, but it didn't happen. But anyway,
it was too late.
While we were in high school,
no.
We were great friends, but we never talked about our sexuality. Mm-mm. We never talked about, you know, what was going on. I'm curious, Twiggy, question.
No, what?
Did you ever think either of us were gay?
No.
I'm serious.
Yes, I knew you were gay.
Oh, you knew?
Avery, I was 50-50.
50-50.
But I was 100.
Like, yeah.
150.
But, like, there's the gay, first off, I mean, being gay is a spectrum, right?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying.
As is everything, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, as much as I could have been like, oh, Emily's totally gay, I was like, Emily could be a bit gay. Like, I have to paint a picture of who Emily was in high school. I'll just describe it.
Do it. Yeah.
And you had the same look through, like, all of high school. Yeah. And
that's my next question, but paint the picture. Go ahead.
Paint the picture. Like, pigtails? Braids, really. But not like Raggedy Ann braids.
Right,
it was more like the bassist for Metallica
but
braids.
But it was bad, though. Like, really bad.
Like, that, literally that haircut, glasses, and... Would never wear any kind of dress or skirt. Hated it. Always in shorts, jorts,
yep.
Pants.
Love it.
The rocker look. And just, like, hated the idea of being, like, seen as feminine. You thought it was, like, being forced upon you. And you were like, no, I want to wear this.
Sometimes when I put on girly clothes, feminine clothes, I feel more masculine. Like, it makes me feel like it's forced, yeah, so it makes me feel like I'm not wearing what I should be wearing.
Like, oh, that's yeah, what you want me too, to look yeah, like.
Right?
Yeah, totally.
So, like, I have, like, I like my sporty kind of attire and whatever. But if I'm wearing, like, more feminine stuff, I like it to be sexy, not, like, cute and pretty. I don't like, it's, mm, like, when I look cute and pretty, I feel like it looks forced. It looks,
yeah,
and I feel out of body.
Right, but for me, it was, like, this is my complaint. You're going to tell me, oh, you look pretty with your hair down. Oh, I'd love to see your legs. Oh, I'd love to see your body. By the way, Avery, we were athletes. We had rocking bodies.
Yeah, we fucking did.
There's no reason why we shouldn't have been showing our bodies, but it made me feel yeah, so uncomfortable.
Yeah, yeah, I was always thinking that. I was like, why isn't Emily showing her body?
Well, because... Hey. Because if you don't feel comfortable,
yeah,
it feels like you're naked.
Yeah,
true. I never saw it as like weird though. I just saw it as something of your own.
Yeah,
I never like the first thing I'm think like if I knew you in that way, I didn't think, oh, that's very strange. There's plenty of people who do the same thing. You know, it felt like something that wasn't enough for me to have like an intervention for you. Imagine yeah, if I had come up to you in high school and been like, well, you fucking like dressed like a girl, huh? What are well, you doing, that, huh? I'm yeah, you and me are going to the closet. We're gonna get some girly clothes and we're gonna no, put that on you.
No,
and you're gonna like it.
Yeah, no, yeah, for sure. No. I didn't mean it like that. I meant like that we all, when you're in high school, that's the point. When you're growing and you're learning and you're whatever, yeah, you're not trying to judge other people.
Of course.
You wanna love them for where they are at, sure, whether it's good for them or not.
Right.
That's what I feel like is the beauty of camaraderie and friendship. We had such incredible times and we all had our own shit, yeah, you know?
Yeah.
But you still love people for where they're at. If mm-hmm, somebody's insecure, you can still acknowledge as an insecurity, but you don't push them.
No.
Right. You know? Have to love their insecurity. Love yeah, it, or that's who they are.
How do you feel about that, Aves? Like, have you ever been insecure?
Definitely. In high school, for sure, was more so of the insecurity. I feel like more in college, everyone was more accepting. In high school, you want to try to go to that norm and you want to fit in that societal norm
yeah,
of like the popular girls. And you want to wear this stuff and go out and do these things and say these things. And in college, no one gives a fuck. And like it, you definitely find yourself more. And I found myself more and I keep finding myself. Like we said, we keep
changing. What did you study in college?
I studied exercise science. Yeah.
Whoa. What is that?
It is a bridge path to being a physical therapist. So I did that. Florida State, go Noles, exercise hey, science. And then I went to FIU, go Panthers, for physical therapy school.
Whoa.
So that's what I do now.
And so you're a physical therapist.
Yeah. Doctor of physical therapy.
Does exercise hey, science.
Excuse me. Say it again one time.
Doctor of physical therapy.
Whoa. Yeah.
So Aves, this is something that I just love. You grew up in Miami, right?
Mm-hmm. Born and raised, 305.
Born and raised. And when you grow up in Miami, you're raised in Miami, you hear Spanish all the time.
See?
But you went down your physical therapy path, whatever. And then one day she calls me. She says, oh, you know, everybody that I work with, most of the people, they speak Spanish.
Yep.
And I want to communicate with the people that I work with. I want them to feel like they are heard.
Yes.
This fucking bitch taught herself motherfucking Spanish.
Mm-hmm.
And she sounds like a Cuban.
Yo soy de Cuba.
Wow.
Not really. I'm honorary. Pero yo hablo español. Y mis pacientes piensan que yo soy de Cuba.
¿Viste?
Porque mi acento. Uh-oh. Yo quiero café con leche, oscuro, con wow, mucho azúcar. Con un mitad de azúcar. A little healthy, okay?
That's like, so pero, annoying. That's so annoying.
But it's amazing.
Where did you... So how did you study after that? You just... What, Duolingo?
Just, no, working in the hospital and, like, listening and just practicing it.
Wow.
And, like, I just let myself do it, you know, not being afraid.
All right.
And stuff. But the patients who speak Spanish are, like, very happy and, like, they are grateful that I speak Spanish, yeah, you know? And it does help me get better rapport with the patients and, that's like, nice, they trust me better when I speak Spanish.
Most of the people you would learn from were Cuban.
Some Cuban Spanish I cannot understand. And I'm like, okay, un poquito más despacio, por favor. So they start talking. They're like, oh, she knows Spanish. Then I'm like, not that well.
It's annoying because I have 3 accents.
Really?
I'm Venezuelano. I was born in Venezuela.
Very cool.
But I grew up out here.
Wait, you were born in Venezuela?
Yeah.
When did you come to
I left
to
when I was
here?
2 years old.
Oh, okay. Wow. Okay.
The year was 1996.
Doing the math.
1996. Yeah.
Chicago, 1970. It was raining. The city's a cesspit of evil and scum. And I'm the squeegee.
Sorry.
We all have ADD.
So yeah, we all have ADD. We'll discuss that later. And we'll remember to discuss it later.
As an actor, a producer, and a proud Latino father, my days can get very busy, which is why I make sure to dedicate time to what's important, like supporting my community through my work, sharing my Colombian and Venezuelan culture, and being present for my family, which is everything to me. Hey everyone, it's Wilmer Valderrama, and we're reflecting on what matters most. I start by giving thanks for good support in my life whenever I need to make the big decisions. How about you? If it's insurance you need, State Farm is there to help you choose the right coverage for you. And State Farm offers great support 24/7. Just call an agent. State Farm is also a big supporter of My Cultura Podcast Network by helping to share our Latinx voices. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Listen to new episodes of your favorite My Cultura shows wherever you get your podcasts.
iHeart Podcast Update. This week on your free iHeartRadio app. Fodor's Guide to Espionage, a 60s-era spy story of the world's first and greatest travel writer, Eugene Fodor, as he jet sets around the globe. Tongue Unbroken Season 2. This podcast explores complex concepts of identity, resilience, erasure, and genocide. Table for Two Season 2. Think of the show as a deconstructed Oscar party in podcast form. Each episode takes place over the romance of a meal and feels like you're seated next to a different guest at that dinner. Hear these podcasts and more on your free iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Elliot Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow. Thank God for the limits.
Every time I have like one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I know you have a couple impressions. Yeah. You want to give us some of them?
So I'll introduce this truth. I am a paid voice actor.
Super. Cool. Are you?
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
I've been getting paid to do some voice acting for the first time. Oh, so yes. You'll see some Italian cartoons that I'm going to be in.
Nice.
You'll see some Russian children's shows that I'm doing the narrator for.
That's so cool.
The narwhal is like an elephant with tusks. And then, so the most recent one, which I can't talk about it too much. I'm going to be an orc. I'm going to be like an ogre who's like the best friend of the main character. Who's like a cool guy. And I'm like the jockey, bigger
what
guy.
Does it
I'm
sound
like the Patrick
like?
Star. So I'm going to do it for you.
Okay,
right
do
now.
It, do it, do it.
Hey, man, what's up?
I can see it.
He's like, he's a little younger and he's got little dreads and stuff.
Oh, gnarly.
And so, and it's, he's kind of like laid back a bit. So he's like, I don't know about that. The dragon's coming. We need to find the crystals. And it's just me like doing that voice for like an hour.
Give me your Christopher Walken.
I am walking. I'm a lady. It's so good to see you.
But my favorite part about people that do voice acting, their face morphs into the person. Like you become them. And
oh,
it's so
you,
cool.
Aves, you got any
it's
impressions?
It's really playing pretend, you know?
I don't really do impressions per se, but accents.
Okay, that's
like
your
I was telling
accent.
Fed before, oh, I have a really good English accent, I think at least. Whenever
Amelia
I try to do
Clark.
Emilia Clark or Emma Watson,
I'm
my distant cousin, she got the acting genes, unfortunately, I did not.
Sorry,
but
you're a terrible actor.
I know, right? This is, what am I even saying?
Hello, what's all this?
Oh, he's from Liverpool.
Oh, Liverpool is like, hello, hey, you like the Beatles?
Oh, yeah, Beatles. George Harrison.
We don't
I
have
like the Beatles.
Oh, Ringo, yeah, it's good.
Oh, that was pretty good.
It's
all
not
right.
bad.
So
imagine.
So speaking of the Beatles and older times, Let's go back to high school. We all met in high school. We're diverting. All right.
Yeah.
All right. When we met, like Twiggy mentioned, Avery and I played sports together. Although you were on the soccer team and I played basketball, and I never played soccer and you never played basketball.
No, I was on the swim team.
Same season down here in South Florida. Those are the same season.
Yeah,
to our same season. To our northern listeners.
Exactly. If you were playing basketball and soccer, you never played them at the same time.
Yep.
In the southern hemisphere, the toilet actually spins backwards.
That's gnarly.
Is that what we're talking about?
Did you play a sport, Twig? Did you ever play sport?
I was in the swim team for a summer.
Okay.
And boy, did I get just so ripped. I looked good.
Swimming?
I was sexy for a summer.
Aren't you swimming? Ooh. Okay, so
and then I get to school starts and it's like, oh, so you're gonna be the swim team now. I trained you to become the part of the swim team. You're in it, right? And you know, I was part of the arts in country day, in like our school. I really was like so interested in trying everything because I didn't know what I wanted to do. I loved doing so many things. Yeah. And so I did theater and I did the school band because I really enjoyed them, and I put as much time into those as I could, and I would draw during class when I should have been listening to what I was studying, even though I got good grades, by the way.
Great grades.
So when the moment I had to like sacrifice one of those to go every like morning to exercise and do swimming, which was fun, I didn't give a shit about. I wasn't passionate.
Right.
That was the first time I realized like what like a passion meant. I was like, I went up to the coach. I was like,
"It's not it.
I don't got the fire in me for this.
Yeah.
I have the fire in me already for a bunch of other things.
Yeah.
So I can't just give. I can't throw away those fires.
So you want to hear a very real thing? I've played basketball since I was 10 years old.
Right.
I'm 5'2". I was a point guard. I was.
You're 5'2"?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck you.
No, I can't see it. Like it's your personality is like
it's
so
large.
My personality is 8 feet, bitch.
It is. It's touching the ground. It's swinging. It's just dragging along.
But So I was working every day. You know, let's play. Let's focus. Let's whatever. And that's the thing. Like when you're in high school and you're learning about who you are.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, oh well, I want to be there. I want to do this thing, but within limits. You know what I mean? It was like a little bit complicated for me. So I got to a point where my high school basketball coach, you know, he was trying to form the best team possible, which again, this is what I'm going to say about high school. Like, they're children. We are children in high school. And I feel like, this is my opinion, and you guys can disagree.
Hot take. Hot take incoming.
They are pressuring us too much to be, know what we want, know what our passions are, you know, push us to be the best person that you are when you're 15 years old. That's never going to happen.
Yeah.
Like, we're trying to figure out who we are. Mm-hmm. Stop trying to make us the basketball star, D1 school, this, that, whatever.
Yeah.
So in my experience, I was following a passion, following a hobby that I really loved, like basketball. And then it became too serious.
Mm-hmm.
It became like, oh, you don't get here. You don't excel, blah, blah, blah. Well, it's not going to happen. And then for me, literally, one day, my mom picked me up. I was sobbing. I was crying because I didn't want to let my team down. When you are a part of a sport that teaches you discipline, that teaches you camaraderie.
Loyalty.
That teaches you how to be a part of a team.
Mm-hmm.
Whether you want to be an athlete or not, sports are such an important part for me of what it means to know what discipline means. Like, I will always say thank you.
Yes.
For having that experience. However, when it came to the point that I was like, this is getting too serious. I'm 15 years old. I'm not worried about being in a D1 school. I'm trying to get good grades and figure out what I like. I'm 15.
Yeah.
I don't even know my sexuality.
Right. Yeah. It's like the whatever you're in, like teacher or coach, whatever, wants you to just focus on that only. But it's like, hey, we have all these other parts of our life that we have to focus on as well and give time to. Like you were saying earlier, when you focus more on one thing, other things in your life fall off and you don't give attention to it or don't give the energy to it, or because you can't. And it's like, no, we have to be able to freely explore safely what we want
to
do.
That's something you have to learn how to do.
Yeah.
To learn how to like let go of something because you know you have other responsibilities.
Yeah. Yep.
And that's not easy. And, that's not easy because you could stay into the same thing for so long because you feel like you're expected to.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't get to think you have the chance to try something else.
Yeah.
And I was scared. Because my coach, He should have been in the NBA. He's an incredible basketball player, but yeah, he had an injury. Mm-hmm. And, you know, he ended up where he ended up. And it was like, you guys got to be the best.
Yeah.
And I'm like,
he was tough.
And he was pressured to be the best. So his pressure went right on to you guys as kids, though.
And there's, you know,
there's definitely kids in that situation that excelled in that situation.
Yeah.
But that moment, once it really pushed into what that could be, it pushed out the kids that didn't fit that
exactly.
bill.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But should you push kids at that age to be that way?
That's a good question.
I just want to play basketball in my school have a good time.
Like, I'm
with
just
it.
Trying to have fun.
Right. It's not.
But again, I don't take it away from him because guess what? And I'm going to give this to him the day that he dies. I will say this right now to everybody out there. I was so scared. I cried to my mom in the car. Mm-hmm. I said, I don't know what I'm going to do. I can't let my team down. Mm. I can't let my coach down. He's counting on me. Mm-hmm. I want you to be the point guard. I want you to this and that. But if I'm not happy and I'm not there, how much am I servicing him if I am lying, if I am showing up in a way that he doesn't want me to show up?
Right.
So my mom took me to see the Dalai Lama. Thank God I have the privilege and the honor to be able to, you know.
Awesome.
I went to UM and he was doing a speech and he said, you have to do what fulfills you, what gives you happiness. Mm-hmm. And in that moment, right there, I said, the moment we leave here, I'm going to talk to the basketball coach.
Nice.
I will not wait one more day because I am showing up not prepared to be a part of this team. I'm already removed.
Yeah.
And I was fully expecting him to say, fuck you. Go run 10 laps. You're a piece of shit. Whatever the fuck. And you know what? I went up to him like a fucking woman, baby. And I went up to him and I said, Coach O, I love you. I love being a part of this team, but this is too serious. I am way more serious about music than I am this. And I am feeling way too overwhelmed. And you know what he said to me? Okay. Thank you for speaking to me to my face.
Awesome.
The moment you want to come back, the door is open.
Beautiful. That's how it should always be. That's amazing.
That's what he said to me.
And then the credits
roll. Awesome,
Coach
O.
But you know what I'm saying? Nice. I was expecting the worst.
Yeah.
Of course.
And look how he responded to my, you know, quote unquote, manning, hashtag womaning up.
Right.
Put your money where your mouth is. Stop being afraid.
Yeah.
You did. Talk to people.
You didn't have your mom come up to you and say it for you.
Of course not. Of course not. And she offered.
She wanted to.
Do you want me to go talk to him? No. No. I'm going to deal with it myself. And it was so painful and so terrible, but it was a beautiful experience.
Yeah.
Awesome.
That shaped my life. It doesn't matter. I don't remember algebra. I don't remember this and that. And I have terrible grammar. I can't spell for shit. But you know what I remember? That moment right there. Mm-hmm. Where I was able to feel like I manned up and he respected me.
That's nice.
That's awesome. And unfortunately, it's not always like that. That's probably the more rare side, but that shapes you for sure.
Did you have a weird moment like in sports? Like, how was your experience? Because you were very talented, Avery. She was like a soccer star. Her dad was a soccer coach. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure that must have been really difficult for you, but you always excelled. Did you ever feel like, you know, I have to perform? Like,
I think it was probably I felt it, but it was like I just was literally came out the womb playing soccer. My brothers played soccer. I looked up to them and I like loved it because I wanted to do what they were doing. But in school, I was expected to do it, but I loved it. You know, there were some hard times of like just this is intense and I never really wanted to go to college for it. But I remember one summer I was helping my dad with his soccer camp he does every summer called Simple Soccer. I remember it was just so hot out there and that damn field gets really, really hot.
Yeah.
And I was sweating and I'm in high school and I'm like, I have better things to do, quote, like, you know, air quotes, better things to do than coming here at whatever time of the day, burning hot, sweating, helping with him with kids and whatever. And I told my dad, I was like, I don't even want to be here. And then like, my dad is the most kind person in the world, like doesn't curse, doesn't anything.
He's the best.
And I could just, I was telling my dad this, but I was kind of coming at it with a bad attitude a little bit.
I loved your dad.
Yeah.
I wasn't in any sports. I thought your dad was fantastic.
Yeah.
It's just, you could hear him from the other side of the school, you know?
Yeah.
Well, what I was saying is like, if you're a teacher in high school, which is what we were talking about before, like you have to realize that like when you're a 15, 16 year old, you're thinking you know, you got it all figured out. That's not the case. Like, those are children.
Yeah, they're so impressionable. So when you act a certain way, they're going to take that and like think that that's what adulthood looks like and sounds like and is. But it's like, you think now, like, teachers are our age. We could be teachers teaching 15-year-olds. Right, and that's completely normal. Like, we think that these people have it all figured out. Yep. And what they say is the word of God. And like, oh, I did something wrong because they're reacting like this and they're telling me this. And it's like, we're doing nothing wrong, you know, per se, unless you're doing
my sister
wrong.
Just got out of high school. She's going to college now. Yeah.
Speaking of school, this is a perfect moment. We went to Country Day. When we went to Country Day, there's somebody that we all have in common that I actually want to take a little moment. Let's try to call him. Let's see what the fuck is up. But
hello.
When we went to
Barack Obama.
Daddy.
Emily.
Emily.
Good to hear you. How are you?
Hey, that's
actually pretty good. Malia, good. Michelle, and I. Happy to hear from you. Thank you. Wow.
My best friend to this day, and also in high school, was Groovy Pentesco, a.k.a. I'm not going to say his name because it ruins the illusion. If I tell you what his name is, it ruins the fact that his name is Groovy.
I don't even know his real name. You know his real name.
If I tell you... I'll tell you off camera. Hold on. I'm going to cut this out right now.
No way.
What?
So anyway, so when I was in high school, Groovy, who is my best friend, he came up to me. He had our band director, Mr. Wicker, who, you know, all of us know. Even Avery, who wasn't a part of the band.
Yeah.
Like, Wicker loved you. Like, we were all a part of that vibe, like that crew.
Yeah.
And so... he was a part of our high school experience because he was helping us with like sound and, you know, setting up the band and everything.
Yeah.
So we're going to call him. Let's fucking call Groovy. We're going to call Groovy right now. Let's see what's up.
All right. The number you have dialed is not in service.
Hey.
Groovino! Welcome to In Our Own World, Groovy. How are you?
I'm good.
Where
I'm
are
very
you?
Very good.
Tell us right now. Don't lie. Be honest. Where are you?
I'm at a bar.
Yes.
I was just jamming with some friends.
Oh, amazing.
What song?
And I ran outside.
What song did you just play?
I played Little Wing, Hey Joe, and Mustang Sally.
Oh, fuck yeah. All right, so listen. We are here with Avery, Fed, and me, and we are talking about high school and talking about our experience, and we got to the point where we're like, oh, fuck, Groovy was a part of that shit. So tell
us, Groovy.
How do we all know each other?
We know each other. I met Emily in ninth grade. Plain Little Wing. That's literally how I met you. I got called in to play for the class, which I thought was very bizarre, but okay. And then got to actually hear you guys when you guys did the Beatles medley.
That's right, cool. Yeah.
From Abbey Road.
And Twiggy and I would switch off on the drums, and Groovy
just
was
to
there.
To make the record straight, I was not in high school.
I was
in the high school that you guys went to. Yeah.
But like, why aren't you trying to take the opportunity to make yourself seem like you're, you know, in your 20s?
It ain't gonna happen. Shit ain't gonna happen.
But like, you know, like, I'm trying to throw you a bone. I'm trying to make it seem like, you know, and here you are. So Groovy's my fucking best guy, and not only have we all been in high school together and everything, but he has been the reason why I have evolved my drumming. When I was in high school with Twig and playing drums and playing sports with Avery and everything, Groovy was like, hey, come play drums with me. And I was like, okay. And I was ready for a rehearsal and whatever. He's like, rehearsal? Fuck that. You're going to show up, you're going to play, and we're going to make it work. And so I've been playing with Groovy since I'm 13 years old. Nice. He's my ride or die. And he has made me the musician that I am, truly. I'm going to say that right now. And also, in that process, in the last year, he has written the most unbelievable fucking album. All right, down the road.
If it wasn't for him, I wouldn't have gotten through that record.
That's not true, because
it's very true.
The point is that when you're a musician, when you're an artist, high school and everything, like, you need friends in your life to make you push you to be your best self. And you do that for me, and I do that for you.
Yep.
10 years down the line,
I'm still a kid when it comes to playing music. I'm still the same way I was when I was 15. It's weird, but I think about that.
Love it.
you know, I still love music like I did then. And I know a lot of like people when they get older that are musicians and they kind of like veer out of it. It's weird.
Yeah.
A lot of people veer away from it and they, you know, it's not as close to them. They still love music, but it's not like their end all. And for me, I have to be listening to music all the time when I'm driving, all the time. It's cranked, you know, different albums, you know, I just got done driving for 11 hours. I've been up for 28 hours.
God damn.
And here I am at a gig to sit in with another band.
Fuck yeah.
Damn. Fuck
yeah. You know, it's like that. It's just what drives me. It's what keeps me alive.
Yeah, man. You got to follow your passion. You got to do what makes you happy. That's what I felt from you when you met me. I never in a million years would have thought that you would have invited me to play with you, you know, to be a part of your world. And as a result, we have this friendship that is going to be till the end, till the day I die, babe. You know,
it's
you're my ride
or die. It's one of the most important things in my life is our friendship.
Awesome. I feel the same way.
Beautiful.
Well, anyway, go back to the bar, bitch. Love you.
Yeah. All right, I love you guys.
I love you, man. Groove. We love you.
That guy is just the coolest guy. I remember like watching all of you guys on stage and stuff and like him doing all the other background stuff and whatever sound checks and whatever.
He would control, he would have the soundboard. He'd control the audio all the time.
Yeah.
We went to a school that gave us a lot of facilities to learn the things we wanted to do.
Right.
Extracurriculars. They gave us all the tools needed to make that happen in the confines of how they do it.
Right.
It had a lot of rules. It was structured. At the same time, I should have been just like forming a band outside of school and doing gigs and like getting into trouble. I should have been taking risks in that regard, but I had a school that was very like eager to have us make things in the confines of our school.
Right.
A part of it.
We were very privileged, all of us, whatever reasons we were, to be able to go to a private school. But I'll say this to this day, like I still say thank you. I acknowledge we went to a private school. However, you have to have that outward experience where you have to also realize we're children, we're growing, we're learning. You know, like even Avery, I remember like one day you came up to me in the hallway because you were always an incredible student. And that's another thing. Like, how did you balance students? And like, I feel like there's a lot of pressure now, a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
You have to be an amazing athlete or you have to do something or you have to whatever. Like, did you ever feel Avery's dad was a soccer coach?
Right.
And she was the soccer star.
Just a side note, Avery, I would study with you and the other smart kids on purpose so I could get better grades.
That's so funny because I never thought of myself as a smart kid at all. I was in just like the regular normal like science and I did well in my chemistry class and then I got put into honors physics and that was not for me. I was sitting with all the smart kids of like the smart kids in our class. So my brain, I guess, just naturally was more like science-based, math-based kind of stuff because I'm a physical therapist now, but I always wanted to be more of the like theatrical, musical, and I have that passion for it and I love it because I love singing and I love the arts and I loved watching guys' performances.
Do you do it now?
And the drama performances. I'll just sing. I sing to my patients all the time. Like if I'm
when
in the hospital.
When they're unconscious?
Yeah. No, when they're, no, they hear me and they're like, you have a great voice. And I'm like, thank you.
I'm like, that's great.
All right, let's hear your singing voice. Hit it.
I want a different doctor.
Come on.
I got to.
I'll bring my guitar down. You want to sing real quick?
I can show you the.
I can show you the
Disney
world.
Lawyers.
Yeah, right?
I often get asked why I'm such a big fan of wrestling. And it's all thanks to my grandma. Growing up, we would watch matches together, and that bond turned me into a lifelong fan. Hi, I'm Freddie Prinze Jr., and on my podcast, Wrestling with Freddie, we know how important it is to have the right teammate, because things can get pretty tricky quick. So, when things get complicated and you need help, State Farm gives you options. They show you what's possible for ensuring what matters to you. One of the things that matters to me? Sharing memories and revisiting wrestling's greatest moments. And with State Farm's support of the My Cultura podcast network, I get to do just that. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Listen to new episodes of your favorite My Cultura shows, wherever you listen to podcasts.
I'm Elia Connie, and this is Family Therapy.
My best hopes, I guess, identify the life that I want and work towards it.
I never seen a man take care of my mother the way she needed to be taken care of.
I get the impression that you don't feel like you've done everything right as a father. Is that true?
That's true. And I'm not offended by that.
Thank you for going through those things, and thank you for overcoming them.
Wow. Thank God for deliverance.
Every time I have one of our sessions be positive. It just keeps me going.
I feel like my focus is redirected in a different aspect of my life now.
So, how'd we do today?
We did good.
The Black Effect presents Family Therapy. Listen now on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turned sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I was telling Twiggy that I had kind of a different experience in high school because my father worked there. My two brothers went to school there.
And they're always watching.
Always watching, always listening, always around the corner. Mm. So I was in ninth grade when my middle brother was in 11th grade and my oldest brother was in 12th grade. So we were in high school together, you know, in a very small high school. Our class was 89 kids.
Yep.
So really? Yeah, very, very intimate.
Yeah, I knew everybody.
Small, exactly. We knew everyone in high school.
Yeah.
So, but also with like coming out, like, which I probably wouldn't have come out in high school anyway if my dad wasn't there or my brothers weren't there. But I feel like kids can come out earlier now, or like, I feel like it's just more talked about and more
I
open.
Hope they
so
can.
Kids, I hope they can too.
It feels like a big shame. Here's my thing. You shouldn't be forced to come out until you're ready, because I don't even believe in coming out.
Yeah.
Like if you're figuring yourself out, nobody should make that decision for you. However,
other than your priest.
Yeah, when you're that age and stuff and you think about coming out or doing anything just different from the status quo, the norm, you think about everyone, how it's going to affect everyone else, and it shouldn't be that way. You know, it's like, right. Oh, how's my dad going to like take this now? He's at school and has all this talk about his daughter being gay. So it's like that went through my mind, but also was terrified of coming out anyways, regardless of that. So, but a little different of a...
Did you come out?
Not really. I guess they found out. And then when I went to college, I kind of like was able to be myself more.
Right.
Like I got a girlfriend in like my freshman year of college. We started dating and dated for 4 years.
On Cash App?
On Cash App, yeah. She hit me up there.
On Farmer Finder.
Farmersonly.com.
Yeah.
Yep. That's my type of girl right there.
Oh my God.
Howdy, darling. Where you at?
Girl dad. Hook 'em
horns. Yeah. Right.
Ave's like, all of us have had incredible memories together. Like, I'll never forget that powder puff moment that you mentioned. But also, I'll never forget the day that high school ended. Mm. This is, like, one of my core memories.
I guess it is. It really wasn't a big deal to me.
But like, it was to me.
Yeah, that's so funny.
When high school ended, mm-hmm. it was like, oh, the seniors, the bell's about to ring, whatever. Like, go outside and whatever. Fed decides to put me on his shoulders. He's 6'3", I'm 5'2". He decides to put me on his shoulders and run around the football field, leaning forward with me on his shoulders. And I'm like, I feel like I'm going to die.
I started sprinting and purposely pretended I was dropping her. I was like, whoa, and like scooped her up.
Face plants into the turf.
Oh my God.
See, you're the youngest of your family. I've had like a little sister that I had practice.
Right.
A small infant on my shoulder. So
fuck you. To.
Fuck you, bitch. My point is that it was just a euphoric moment. Like, school was over. I was on your shoulders. We're running around. Like, yeah. It was amazing.
Yeah, it was cute.
And those are the things that life are made of. Like, you have to mark those moments.
Yeah.
And, like, enjoy them.
When I first met Emily, we were in the school band, and I was really fascinated with her. Like, I knew your mom was, like, fucking glorious. Like, I didn't give a shit, you know?
Thanks.
Like, I was like, oh, she plays drums. Like, she's really fun. I was like, oh, like, she's so small. This was like even like it was we were young too. It was like freshman year high school, so like she was like just small, and I shot up like a rock, and I was already 6'2", 6'3" by like middle school. Like I have the stretch marks to prove it. So I've always been like the tall guy, and tall-ish, you know. I kept on. There was this bit that I had with all these other guys in the band, like Aaron Wiesman. I was just like, I want to fight her. I want to fight her. I want to fucking fight her. And I tried to like goad you. We didn't know each other well enough. And I was like, I want to fight you. We're like in the buzz. And there was a moment where we like wrestled or something too. I really wanted to like fucking like Greek wrestle you.
My money's on him, by the way.
Yeah, I know. But in wrestling, she would have the advantage. Yeah. Like I knew that she could easily overpower
one punch
me.
And it's your penis. You right
were
there.
In the basketball team, so you were fit. So yeah. I was like, I know that Emily could kick
and the
my
drums.
Ass.
I mean, you gotta have fit
were
arms
being
to the
operative word.
Yeah,
you were fit.
Sorry, oh, you're preaching to the choir on that one.
But no, I think in high school you have to have that good clean. You have to, as a kid, you have to just find your thing, but try everything, you know, and have fun with it, and just like love and have fun in that moment, because high school is a formative years for sure. And you got to like the last day of high school was like amazing. And like adults are like, oh my God, it's just high school. But it's like, no, you got to live that and feel it and like be in the moment and like make mistakes, do stupid things. But like, you got to fully, thoroughly enjoy it.
This is my message for tonight, guys. Whatever happens in your life, you have friends that have been with you for a minute. There have been moments where we don't talk. Like, you know, Avery and I just recently reconnected again, even though we were super close. And Fed and I... You know, we went to college in the same, you know, state.
Oh, I didn't even talk about that.
Yeah, like he went to Emerson and I went to Berkeley. So we were able to continue our friendship
at the same time.
Exactly.
We got into some trouble.
A lot of trouble. The point is that you have to reconnect to the people who bring you joy.
Yeah.
Talk about your past. High school is a very formative time. It's not about what you learn. It's about the experiences that you have. Because I'm telling you, man, doesn't matter if you're 15, 16, 17, what you go through during that time, even to this day, you remember.
Yeah.
You think about it. We keep coming back to each other.
It's even like subconscious though. Like you learn so much stuff that like you can't articulate or like remember, but you still learn so much.
Exactly. You process it later.
Uh-huh.
But in the moment you're learning.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Not what you're writing on the paper.
Yeah, to ask me about any history question, I have no idea.
Exactly.
Really?
But I love my history. Mr. Melamed, I loved him because he was just
Dr.
connected.
Dr.
Melamed.
Moved to Thailand.
Yeah,
awesome.
He was incredible.
But yeah, you learn so much in high school. For, like being a human, being a good person. Like, and then keeping your friends, you know. Your friends speak to who you are.
Amen. To this day, which is why I say you both have beautiful hearts, beautiful...
Aww.
Like you just the energy you radiate, which is why I want to continue to be around you guys.
Got it.
You too.
So before we end this flight, by the way, Jem, I really fucking hope you found that rock to keep Beyonce alive because she needs to be alive.
She does.
Shout out to Jem.
Shout out to Jem.
Mining those gems?
Jem mining gems.
Jem mining gems.
Can you tell me what you're doing with the gems? Are you mining the gems? Are you mining them? Are you mining them?
One more time now.
Hey, are you mining them?
Get your back.
Is Beyonce alive?
Get your back.
Please tell me. Anyway, so before we leave you guys tonight, thank you so fucking much for flying with us.
Mm-hmm.
One more time.
How
say your name. What are you up to today? Where can people find you? Like, give people the rigmarole. Let's start with Aves.
Rigmarole. Here it is. Avery Watson. Physical therapy right here. Don't ask me to work on you. I'm expensive. I work at a hospital, and my Instagram is Avery Watts. Hit me up.
If you don't want to use WMD, you go to her Instagram after.
Exactly.
That.
Yep, IMDb.
That's your plan B on that one.
Yeah. Hit me up. Any questions you got?
All right, Fed. What's your vibe?
Here's Federico. Check me out on Instagram, Muerto Lento. I'm an illustrator. I got my new animated music video out for the band Heat Boys. It's called Lonely (Incel) Anthem, and it's exactly what you expect it to be.
whoever's out there right now listening, you need your friends to lift you up, to yes. make you feel good,
yeah.
to make you feel empowered.
When was the last time you talked to your high school friends? Make sure they're okay.
Call them. Yeah. Check how they are.
Well, don't call them. Text them first.
And people will always be happy that you reached out. Don't be like, oh, it's been too long. They yes. forgot me. Da, da, da.
Yeah.
When some, I've had a couple people like recently reach out and be like, oh my God. I'm like, it's so nice and so feels warm good. Feeling. And I'm like, wow, I've made an impact on their life enough for them to reach back out. And I'm so grateful. And I need to learn from that because I need to do it.
Yeah, you
should. I need to reach out.
And on that note, thank you for flying with us today.
Oh,
this has been In Our Own World with Fed Schlesinger, Avery Watson, Emily Estefan. Thank you for flying with us, baby. We love you. All your high school.
Peace and love. Peace and love.
We're in space.
Outer space.
Yeah.
Outer space.
We're in the cosmos.
This is a Moonflower production in partnership with iHeart's My Cultura podcast network. For more podcasts, visit the iHeartRadio app or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
What the world needs now is positivity. Connecting, relating, and being human together is where it's at. Hi there, Honey German, and I know life happens, but trust, you got this. And State Farm got us. It feels good knowing that State Farm agents are there to help you choose the right coverage with great support 24/7. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are coming back to Atlanta.
Right now.
Whoa. Mark your calendars for the second annual Black Effect Podcast Festival is happening on Saturday, April 27th. Hosted by B-Dot and Pretty V. Last year was nuts, but we about to do it bigger and better. We've got some of your favorite podcasts like Carefully Reckless, Horrible Decision, $1 million Worth of Game, just to name a few. Tickets go on sale today, right now. Go to blackeffect.com/podcastfestival. Get them. We'll see you there.
My whole life, I've been told this one story about my family, about how my great-great-grandmother was killed by the mafia back in Sicily. I was never sure if it was true, so I decided to find out. And even though my Uncle Jimmy told me I'd only be making the vendetta worse, I'm going to Sicily anyway. Come to Italy with me to solve this 100-year-old murder mystery. Listen to The Sicilian Inheritance on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.